the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's a Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. 5th Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Here's the guesting coming up. Wednesday edition. Good morning. We have Brett Cianci out of this first break at about local time now, 6:20 Central. If you're on Eastern time, that would be 7:20. He is with Pick Six Previews, Brett Cianci. And top of the hour on Wednesdays, Blake Ruffino down in Louisiana. He checks in with us on this Wednesday edition. F&M Bank Hotline, 615-844-5600 on Twitter, at Bill is King. And if you do want to email the show, billisking7@gmail.com. What are we going to get into today? You know what I was thinking about? A couple things. SEC Football Media Days is coming up in about a month. Now, for many of you, that is another marker in the summer. You've got the SEC, you've got the ACC, you've got all of them. Big Ten, my second favorite. Well, maybe there's a tie. No. My second favorite media days is the Big Ten. They do theirs in Chicago. Chicago in the summer is wonderful, weather-wise. It's not hot and humid and sticky, and you just walk to your mailbox and you're dripping in sweat. It's beautiful. Chicago in the summer is, and you folks that live there know it better than me, but it's 80-ish, not humid. Nice little breeze. If you're near that huge lake, you get some of the wind off that too. It's wonderful. We did the show up there several years from the Big Ten, and summers up there are just wonderful. Anyways, I was looking at the SEC though, and theirs begins, and I've not lined all these various media days up yet. But I will not be going to any of them. I don't even envision going to any of them again, period. It's particularly the SEC. The SEC's turned into a wretched zoo when it comes to media days. But July the 19th. Now, the SEC is covered now over 4 days. It's the 19th of July through the 22nd, and I haven't seen a list, I'm sure there is one, of all the player representatives. It's usually a couple of players from every school, but July 19th is the opener, and this year it will be down in Hoover, Alabama, the Winfrey Hotel, which is attached to the mall down there. Really, really nice location. Not far from where we got a bunch of listeners on the show. Just Business lives right in there. But on the 19th, it's Dan Mullen, Coach O and South Carolina's new coach, Shane Beamer. Call him Baby Beamer. I like Shane. Yeah, he's a pretty good dude. Now, the South Carolina gig and what his chances of success will be, that's a different conversation. But I like Baby Beamer. Gets his shot at it at South Carolina. So, Florida, LSU, and South Kakalaki that first day, July 19th. On the 20th, it is Kirby Smart, Mark Stoops, Lane Kiffin, and Josh Heupel. So three the first day, four the next 2 days, and then three the last day. So Georgia, Kentucky, Ole Miss, and the Vols day two, which is July 20th down in Hoover. Day three is July 21. That would be Nikki. A lot of times they'll have Alabama on the last day, but Nikki there. Mike Leach, Jimbo, and Vandy's new coach, Clark Lee. That's day three. So Alabama, Mississippi State, Aggies, and the Commodores. Last day, Sam Pittman, Brian Harsin, and Eli Drinkwitz. That would be the last three. That's Arkansas. That would be Auburn and Missouri on day four of the SEC Football Media Day. So literally, folks, for you amateurs counting down, I don't count down. We do not do that on the show. That's for rookies. Veterans don't do rookie things like count down to something. We don't do it. But for those of you counting down, if you're a rookie, you're about a month out. And that's another marker for you, because right after that, just shortly thereafter, camp gets started. And again, these are not league by league lined up together. Every league's got their own thing. SEC does theirs either. Now, it's moved around some. It used to only be in the Birmingham area, Hoover area of Birmingham. But it's been in Atlanta. It's going to be in Nashville some in the future. The Big Ten does theirs in Chicago. That's where that ought to be. Yes. And it's always wonderful. I can remember the years we went to Chicago having an absolute blast up there. I'll tell you what, I like it. The SEC is such a zoo, and it's let me just inform you, if you took all the other football media days and put them together, they would not equal the SECs. With notoriety, with fanfare, with media coverage, with the electricity in the air and all that, it wouldn't. But it's turned into a big zoo that, frankly, isn't really that productive for somebody like me. I'd say I've done about 30 of them. I don't know the exact number, but about 30 SEC football media days through the years. My first one was 88-ish, somewhere in there. And I enjoyed it. It's just counterproductive now. There's nothing to be learned there other than getting audio that's redundant. Very, very little is learned from that. So that's... those events are not for me anymore, and I don't have any desire. Now, would I go to any of the others? I may, but I probably not. My plan is to not go to another one forever. You can get as much covered. The SEC Network's going to cover all the interviews. Big Ten Network's going to cover all the interviews. Big 12 was, and usually that one is in Dallas. Is it every year? Probably. In Dallas, and covered that one several years, and had a good time there. Yeah, a lot of stories from those events. Lots of various coaches we've talked to through the years at those events, and a lot of really interesting story from those events. Yeah, Big D, man. Now, Big D in the summer is not Chicago in the summer. Big D, the Metroplex, in the summer is 150 million degrees and humidity off the chart. You just walk to the airport from your cab or your Uber, whatever, and you're going to be drenched in sweat. It's not the same. Now, if you want to know my best location, it'd be Chicago for that. For sure. Yeah, for sure. Allen in Tampa. Bill, if you go to Chicago, you're going to need a Sherman tank. Well, yeah, I mean, but frankly, where couple years they had us actually in hotels where you were not exactly right on Lake Michigan, but you were a couple of blocks away from Grant Park. And, yeah, I mean, Chicago, you're going to have problems. The crime is just off the chart. Now, I never saw any of it, but I remember getting picked up at the airport by cabbies, and one guy who was telling me he worked with the youth in Chicago, and he was just talking about how bad it was. And this is, heck, 10 years ago. How bad it was just walking into some of these facilities to work with the youth, and how he was always worried. And this guy's from there. It was, oh, yeah, Alan's right. It is, that city is a, it's rougher than most of us are used to. Let's put it that way. But, yeah, but in the summer there, I mean, I remember jogging up and down the lake through there and everything else. It was nice. It was, that part of it was very, very nice. No doubt. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, Brett Ciancia will check in. He's with Pick Six Previews. Got a message from him, and I believe he has finished up the SEC work. He says he's done. He added Alabama, A&M, Arkansas, Auburn, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee. He goes league by league. The SEC was the last league. And he starts at the bottom of the league, the perceived bottom of the league, and works his way towards the top. So if you're back to, let's say, the Big 12, the Big 10, and the SEC, you would end up with Oklahoma. You would end up with Ohio State. You would end up with Alabama when covering those leagues, when studying up those leagues. And he hit all the leagues, the P5 now, and the last league he hit was the SEC, and he's done with it. And he'll have a big write-up on it, too. We'll let you know how you can get all his information. But he finished up, and those are the teams that he has studied the most. But he's got a working, very good working knowledge of all of it. Anyways, is what we'll do. With the music there, we'll take the break and continue on. Blake Ruffino, top of hour two on this Wednesday edition. But Brett Ciancia, when we come back, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic volume on the increase here coming out of Sumner County down Vietnam Vets right now through Hendersonville. Still looks pretty good, at least at the moment, on 65 as you make your way up through Brentwood, Franklin. Traffic's on the increase now down the interstate here through Mount Juliet. And they're still finishing up an accident over there in Hamilton Church Road at Mountain View Road. It had traffic blocked at the intersection. Prince's Hot Chicken is now open inside the Assembly Food Hall near the National Museum of African American Music on Broadway. You can always order online at princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money, Smart choice.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville, or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, tail-wagging, backyard-hanging, and, of course, companionship.
And what breed would you say Satchmo is?
I'd have to go with maybe a lavish terrier-hound-chihuahua-looking kind of mix.
Tremendous dog.
I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle. Simply marvelous.
You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this.
Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive. And now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance, so common with this group.
And finally, the loving face lick.
It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks.
Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now, or the puppy gets it. He spends more time staring at depth charts than any man in any universe ever. It's Bill King.
Brett Ciancia, Pick 6 Previews, checks in with us on Wednesdays. He's finishing up the SEC in his studies. Morning, sir. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. What did you uncover looking into the SEC?
Yeah, so on a conference level, I think it's obviously a very talented league. That's not going to change next year. I think the torch has passed for another year to another competitive league. I think the SEC West itself is really loaded. It's really deep of a division. It's one of those where I'm struggling really to place someone last, and that's a good problem to have. That shows how deep it is. You have a lot of teams going through their second year with the coaching staff, and of course you tend to see a second year coach bonus. I talk about that a lot, but I'm looking at maybe a bigger bonus than usual given how last year their transition year was without an offseason, a full offseason for install. So look for huge jumps for Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Arkansas, teams like that. And then at the top, looking at the powerhouse programs, it leads me into another discussion about the transfer portal. Some had thought that, you know, this portal will even out the players and talent pool, how, you know, maybe the lower programs might pick up some prospects. I think the opposite is happening, where these powerhouse programs, if they have a gap somewhere on their roster, say they missed on some recruits or had some early NFL players go, they can just go right to the portal. So Alabama bringing in Henry T from Tennessee, an All-American caliber player to patch up a hole at linebacker, and then and receiver for them from Ohio State, and Georgia doing it with three really great players to cover up at corner and safety and at tight end. So the rich get richer, and I think that's kind of proof of it.
Outside of Georgia, is the SEC East a notch down?
I think this year, yeah, you're catching a division, maybe a transition. Like I said, the West is really, really loaded coming back. I see improvements for almost every team. Maybe Auburn going through a coaching change and some roster turnover there. But with the East, I think Georgia is far and ahead, number one right now. Florida definitely number two, though. I think that's a pretty definite 1-2 punch there. Florida obviously loses a ton of offensive firepower. It was a record-setting unit, SEC records in the pass game there with Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts and Kadarius Toney. These aren't just average, you know, receivers and stat lines you see. These are just once-in-a-generation kind of player types. So having to replace them will be tough. I know they got Keon Zipper there and some receivers, but just in general, it's going to be tough to reload that offense. Defense has to improve. From there, though, you can make the argument for a bunch of teams. Kentucky under Mark Stoops, he has built up quite a track record of just a strong program, you know, physically tough in the trenches, big offensive line. They do get a couple of those great offensive linemen back. And Chris Rodriguez is one of the more underappreciated backs in the league. So, look at them maybe third, and we'll see how that shakes out. And Missouri, second year under Eli Drinkwitz. Again, a second-year program, look for a jump there, maybe some more offensive firepower. Tennessee, we talked about them on the show before. They have the most transfers out of any program. I think it's up to 28 now. 28 players out in the last 8 months. That's more than a full recruiting class. And like I said, these aren't just backups. These are star players. So they're scattered across the Power 5 landscape. So tough year coming up for Tennessee. Vanderbilt. They're starting from ground zero pretty much with Clark Lee. I think it's a great hire. They got that financial boost, but it's going to be tough to build. So, yeah, there's a lot to look at, but I think the West has the power this year.
12-team playoff appears to be on the horizon. Give us some thoughts there.
Well, my thought on that is that I really don't like it. I'm not a fan of it at all. It kind of alters the nature of the game, and everyone wants to compare it to how it's, this would be just like the NFL. Well, guess what? College football is unique, and that's a good thing. That should be okay. I mean, keep the NFL how it is. That's fine if you're a pro person and love a nice 17 game regular season where you're filling up the stands on Sunday. Those games don't matter. You could lose five in a row in the NFL. It doesn't matter as long as you get hot in January. So. And to each his own, okay? That's great for the NFL. For college, we don't have to be that. So I think you're going to see a lot of multi-loss teams make the bracket. I see a lot of people on Twitter and online saying, hey, this is great. It gives more teams a chance. Well, guess what? The three-loss UNC team or the three-loss Florida team, they had their chance, in quotes. They had their chance all throughout September, October, and November. They lost. So you can also view it as, I think it's a bit unfair to talk about fairness, if you will. I think it's funny, but it's almost unfair to the undefeated team now. Team runs the table, goes 12-0, wins the conference, 13-0, beats these teams. Then they're placed, these three-loss teams are placed right back on the same footing with the team that really ran through the gauntlet. We're back in the playoffs now on equal footing. And if we beat you now in January when it matters, your 13-0 season doesn't matter. So, hey. I don't know. It's a mess. I could really rant for an hour. I don't think you guys want that, but not a fan as of now.
No, I'm not either, but it's coming. it certainly appears to be coming. And one note, and there's a million of them, is a rare 10-2 Alabama team a couple of years ago, if you'll recall 2019 or 2010, kind of a knucklehead team. Do you want to be a high seed playing a lower seed ticked off Alabama team with Nick Saban? Good luck there too.
Yeah. So, if you're a team, say like Iowa or Washington or Michigan State, these kind of programs that made the playoff or make close pushes, kind of you call them like Cinderella seasons, that's going to be wiped away because, like you said, you make the bracket there, 12-0 Iowa. You got to now get through an angry Alabama team that might have had a loss tagged on them. Oklahoma's, Ohio State. It's just going to be tough, and I think you're going to see the more powerhouses get involved, more SEC invitations. And if you're an SEC fan, that's fun. But the rest of the country that thinks that this is going to you know, break up the SEC's power, I think that you're in for a surprise. It's going to just amplify that. It'll be, you know, I was on an SEC podcast with Michael Bratton. I called it, it's going to be an SEC invitational in a few years. And, you know, based on where you live in the country, that's a good thing or a bad thing. But, you know, I just think to bring it back high level, I think it's just the TV money, obviously. It's not earth-shattering. I think TV money is driving the sport. And you look back at, say, 50 years ago, what's made it so special was you had your regional rivalries. You had these 100-year-old rivalries. TV money ruined that, too, through conference realignment and, you know, putting West Virginia in the Midwestern Conference, you know, the Big 12, and breaking up Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Texas and Texas A&M. You can go on and on with that, West Virginia, Pitt. So, you know, this is just the next phase now. I mean, you're starting to lose. The bowl game has made college football special. The regular season made it special and unique. So just one by one, TV money, you can just see them you know, clenching their fist and, you know, really taking it away from what made college football unique.
Now that you've gone conference to conference, Brett Cianci, a Pick Six previous with us, what is next on the agenda?
Yeah, so next up is the Big 12. I still have 10 teams there to cover.
I forgot about them.
So I'm going to – yeah, we got the Big 12 up next. Got a couple teams to fill in, like some independents, BYU, I added last year to the book. They've got a huge, passionate fan base, so BYU's added. Notre Dame got a cover. And then we go to the editing phase. I say we. It's really just me. It's a total one-man operation. So once I finish the research and the first writing, I got to go back, edit it. Then I got to, you know, I'm going to scan through and get all these transfers updated because, you know, that is one advantage I do have being a digital publication is while all of the other preseason books are sitting there on newsstands right now, you know, each day that goes by, those are less accurate. I mean, there's transfers happening all over the place, especially over the last month. So this will be very up to date right up to, you know, mid-July when I'm going to release it. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Used to at least feel like when it comes to the magazines that there was a race to get out there and get your information out there first. That is now a huge danger because of all the transfers. You can have a magazine on the rack and be almost useless by the time somebody can read it.
Yeah, for sure. That's, you know, what was once a disadvantage for me personally, I think is becoming an advantage. Like I said, being a digital, I can edit this up right away, you know, clean up some paragraphs, get some transfers moved over to different pages, and have this thing, you know, as fresh as possible come early July. And I think that by early July, too, I think that latest wave of transfers will be done. You know, I think that you saw a big one, obviously, before spring ball, but then after spring ball, once the depth charts were kind of established on the field a bit and the dust settled, I think that April, May, June was a big transfer wave. So, you know, if you're one of the publication companies that's just sitting there on newsstands collecting dust right now, it's a lot of it's outdated. So I do have that advantage, and that'll be up to date as possible.
Question that I get every year, and it's always a difficult one because I don't look at things in these terms, but I'll ask it to you. In your studies to date, is there a surprise team?
Well, I think, you know, surprise is tough. I mean, you know, I like to look within their program context, you know, what's the surprise. But, you know, I think UNC could surprise some folks if they didn't already last year. Mack Brown really building up a legitimate roster there that could contend for conference titles. I mean, break up the Clemson's power, you know, a power surge there in the ACC. Some surprises in the Big 12. I haven't even researched them yet, but just I remember leaving the 2020 season. In my notes, I was thinking that teams like Iowa State could surprise if they haven't already. TCU is really a sleeper. You know, again, I want to study the Big 12 more in depth, but they popped out. SEC-wise, teams like Arkansas, Ole Miss, LSU, you know, in Arkansas and Ole Miss's case, they hadn't succeeded as much recently as they'd like. So them bouncing back to bowl season and beyond will be great. LSU, a sleeping giant with all that recruiting talent, and people are definitely writing them off after last year, the transition of all transition years. So I hope people got their jokes in because LSU's coming back quick. Who else we got? Penn State, actually, out of the Big Ten, another team that when you look at the 2020 record, you think, oh, wow, losing record, write them off. But, hey, no, don't go that far. It's a very talented roster, good coaching staff. you know, I think that they will be second in the Big Ten East, potentially with Indiana. So, yeah, that's a great topic, and it's all relative to what you think is a surprise or a sleeper, but a lot of great candidates out there.
Brett Cianci on Pick 6 Previews. Tell everybody how they can get your info.
Yeah, thanks. It's picksixpreviews.com, at Pick 6 Previews on Twitter. And, again, that's a Power 5 season preview book coming out early July, so a few weeks away, but we're getting there. And really excited to get this 2021 edition to the finish line, because I think it's going to be one of the more anticipated and unprecedented seasons ever. Getting people back in the stands, getting everyone tuned in again, full seasons, not conference slates. So I'm really excited. I think most of College Football Nation's excited, and we're almost there.
I think I saw where even Southern Cal has announced 100% capacity coming up.
Yeah, that's hard to believe, and same with UCLA. So for any LSU Tigers out there, it's going to be like basically Death Valley West at the Rose Bowl, because they can't fill it up themselves. So it's going to be all purple and yellow in the Rose Bowl. That'll be pretty cool.
That's good news. All right, Brett, appreciate it. See you next week, sir.
See you, Bill.
Brett Cianci of Pick 6 Previews. As you can tell, dude does his homework. He digs in there. Coming up top of the hour, Blake Ruffino. And we'll head down to Louisiana. What's the latest on Mike Bianco? Now, he is the current Ole Miss baseball coach. He's an LSU guy. Played at LSU. Was an assistant there. And apparently that is Skip Bertman. Skip's no longer the AD there, as we know. But Skip, when it comes to baseball, he's a baseball guy. And apparently that is his choice to be the next LSU leader. He's done a very good job at Ole Miss. He's been there almost, 20 years? He's been there a while. Done a very good job. And no announcement yet. The other candidate is former Vanderbilt assistant Cliff Godwin, who is at East Carolina. Now, he just brought a East Carolina team to Vanderbilt to take on the Vandy boys in the Super Regional, and played well. Not good enough to beat Vanderbilt to get to Omaha, but played well. And apparently I think he spent some time at LSU, too. I think he spent some time at Notre Dame and some other stops. But first and foremost, their pursuit looks to be Mike Bianco at Ole Miss. I said it yesterday with really no inside knowledge. None. I am not going to pretend to sit here and tell you that I have some kind of knowledge of what LSU wants to do or the way it's going to end up at the coaching level for baseball. But I would think it would be tough for Mike Bianco to turn down. I don't know all the insight, but you would think so. That's the baseball mecca. They may not be the best program right now, but that is the baseball mecca. LSU. We'll take a break. Coming right back. Wednesday edition. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic's moving right now as we check it out live here on 65 at Trinity Lane. Traffic's on the increase even more. I-40 as you come through Kingston Springs. All that traffic coming in from Dixon County this time of the morning on 40 eastbound. Murfreesboro Pike at Nashboro, that wrecks over to the side. And they're trying to wrap up the paperwork on that earlier wreck at Hamilton Church and Mountain View Road. True Friends Moving Company is now hiring. You can call them today at 240-2811. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Whether you're a startup business or an established brand, Stripe Design and Print want to help you ensure you establish the best brand for your business. From new projects to updating existing files, Stripe Design and Print has the expertise to turn your project into a reality. With banners, apparel, business cards, and more, Stripe Design and Print has you covered. Log on for a free consultation at StripeDesignPrint.com. That's StripeDesignPrint.com.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
It's a Bill King Show.
Getting to the sodium pentothal time, which would be the games, because there's nothing that replaces the games. You can practice all you want. The truth serum is the game. Practice is very important to sharpen your craft, but it's not where you get graded. You get your report card from the stats in the ball game.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
He knows all there is to know about Johnny Five Star, and now you can too. It's Bill King.
Top of the hour, Blake Ruffino down in Louisiana. You'll check in on this Wednesday edition. Kip in D.C. Welcome in, sir.
Hey, what's up, Bill?
Morning, Kip. Hey.
Morning, morning. Hey, I had a question, and it's a little bit derived off of yesterday's show. I think someone brought up, talking about John Wooden and kind of making the comparison to Nick Saban. As far as, I mean, they are the two, you know, you look at dynasties and just doing it great as far as recruiting, two comparison, college basketball and college football. Question here. So when John Wooden was making his run, winning all those natties, I believe that didn't the NCAA tournament just take the conference champion only, so you had a very small field?
Probably, and again, way back then, you had a round of about 16, certainly 32 or less. But it was, if you didn't win your league, like, for example, you're in the SEC and you're not Kentucky, you're probably screwed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, up here in the state of Maryland, I know my dad and uncles and older generation, they always talk about, I think there was a mid-70s game, NC State and Maryland, where they were like the two best teams in the country. I think Maryland lost to NC State in, like, triple overtime. NC State won national title that year, but everybody was saying that, like, that was, like, Maryland's team that, you know, probably could have won one back then. But where I'm going with this is, if you take a look at recruiting, so when the NCAA tournament expanded from 16 to 32 to 64 or whatever, after Wooden started winning his titles. I'm not sure what year it was. Did the expansion of the tournament kind of level the playing field in recruiting? Because, you know, all your five stars, Johnny five stars, were kind of looking at UCLA and feeding to all the behemoths, you know, maybe UCLA's or, you know, some of your Kentucky's back then. Kind of like now how you got the Chalky Four, you know, with Bama and Clemson, you know, discordant five stars. Will the expansion of the playoffs in college football kind of mirror what happened in college basketball, if that even happened? I don't know. Do we have to call up Boots White for this one? I don't know.
And now a couple things. Wooden retired in 75. He announced it somewhere right before the Kentucky National Championship game. That helped even the playing field for sure. And if and when Nick Saban, now he just got a new deal through February of 29, but when Nick steps down, that will even the playing field. So I can look at that and equal those, size those up together. But, and boy, I mean, they were getting, think about, you know, in basketball you got five players and you get Lou Alcindor or you get Bill Walton. We were talking about that a little bit yesterday. Those are better than generational players. I mean, if generational is the term, Lou Alcindor is better than generational. That's a one-time forever get, right, out of New York. And again, no telling what they had to do to get him money-wise. But nonetheless, there's just nothing like that in football that I can think of.
Yeah. Yeah, you mean that once-in-a-generational talent?
Yeah, and again, on a basketball court.
Like
I mean,
Kareem, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you just it's just nothing like that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if, you know, if this thing pushes through that, you know, what recruiting will turn out to be, you know, in those first couple of years, if we do see a little more disbursement of, you know, your top 100 kids. Are there going to be more kids staying local?
Right.
You know, it'll be very interesting to see. But I think there's some traction, it seems like, going toward that second round or that once you get down to eight teams being actually played at the home site. So, you know, that's at least a good thing. So,
you think that's got a chance? I hope so. I'm skeptical,
yeah,
but I hope so.
Yeah. From what, you know, I've been researching and hearing a lot of chatter, that's definitely on the table. So, you know, I hope it is that way. You know, the bowls, I mean, look, they got the semis and what they do with the championship now. Just keep it that way. But for those first couple rounds, the home sites would be excellent. It actually adds a little more credence to the regular season. You know, they're taken away a little bit. You know, especially from the top as far as meaningful games, but you know, it'd help out a little bit if you get a home date. But you know, we'll see.
Appreciate it, Kip. Stay in touch, sir.
Hey, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
I have never done historic type research of UCLA under John Wooden, and again, I had John Wooden on the show one time, and his obviously much later years. And he was very gracious. Could not have been more kind, for lack of a better term. But no telling. UCLA going into New York. Power Memorial High School is where Lou Alcindor was from, where he played. A 7'3 post, which would have been, what, the late 60s, I guess? And a player way better than any post player that you see coming out of high school today. A million miles better, okay? And had the hook shot, which is impossible to block. Impossible to block. And there was always talk that UCLA and Hollywood being right there, the money that they had to use to get players. No telling what went down there. No telling. I think we had Kareem I don't remember. I think we had him. I think he was pushing a book of some sort. He's not a big media guy, big talking kind of guy either. I think we had him on the show back in the Sirius XM days to push a book. And again, he was so good, generational, but I don't remember it being a real riveting conversation. Anyways, we'll take the break. Omni.
Good morning. Traffic's moving right now as we check it out live here on 65 at Trinity Lane. Traffic's on the increase even more. I-40 as you come through Kingston Springs. All that traffic coming in from Dixon County this time of the morning on 40 eastbound. Murfreesboro Pike at Nashboro that wrecks over to the side. And they're trying to wrap up the paperwork on that earlier wreck at Hamilton Church in Mountain View Road. True Friends Moving Company is now hiring. You can call them today at 240-2811. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. This Action Update is brought to you by Keeps. Tired of losing your hair? Get 50% off for your first order at keeps.com/vsin. Keeps.com/vsin.
Baseball, the Braves and Red Sox again tonight. Atlanta falling in Game 1 Tuesday, 10-8. They come into tonight once again a moneyline favorite, minus 155. Boston at plus 135, over under 9. Ian Anderson getting the start for the Braves against Garrett Richards for the Sox. NBA tonight, Game 5 between the Hawks and Sixers in Philadelphia. Sixers a 6-point home favorite, the over under 223.5. Later, the Clippers and the Jazz, Game 5 in the West semis. Jazz a 2.5-point home favorite, 222 total. NHL, the Golden Knights and Canadiens in Game 2 of the semifinal series. Vegas leading the series 1 zip, minus 255 on the money line. Montreal plus 215, the over under 5. For vsin.com, I'm Trey Westerberg, Nashville Sports Radio.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for today. Sunshine, highs around 87. For tonight, mostly clear, 62. Sunshine for Thursday, highs near 88. Thursday night, clear, low 66. Friday, sunshine, highs 93. Friday night, mostly clear, low 71. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR, my name is Rocky.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Get into the Bill King Show, 615-844-5600. He doesn't charge by the minute.
Blake Ruffino, top of the hour on this Wednesday edition. From the Strike and Spare Studios. Jay Cutler's burner account. Bill, LSU baseball coaching search is starting to look like a Tennessee football coaching search. Surprised they didn't go after the Dodgers manager like Tennessee wanted Gruden. Well, I would say this. I don't really know the drum beat. The pulse reading of the LSU baseball search, even if that is indeed the mecca of college baseball. We'll talk about it here in a second because Blake's coming up, and of course we have Chris Landry. on Thursday. He's right down there, too. But I would think they're going to get their man. Now, again, I don't know that. I was messaging with Evie, Ole Miss Evie, yesterday. She felt like Mike Bianco would be gone at Ole Miss to take the LSU job. But I have heard nothing. I am not going to sit here and pretend to know what somebody's baseball search is like. I just don't. That's not my world. And I'm monitoring other people's opinions on this one. I can give you my general thinking on it, but yeah, and just like Tennessee with Gruden. This last time when they ended up with Heupel, there weren't any Gruden rumors, but usually with Tennessee, there is a Gruden rumor, and it's always perpetuated in social media like Twitter. Tennessee fans and former players even get involved in this. That's what's so somewhat shocking. Man, I heard some news today. If the news that I heard today about the Tennessee coaching search is true, oh my gosh. I'm just telling you, unbelievable. That I don't know how many times it feels like that has happened. And people actually buy into this stuff. If you would have taken a poll when Tennessee was searching for, it wasn't the Jeremy Pruitt hire. Remember, that was a disaster. The whole thing, including the hire, turned out to be an unmitigated disaster. Think about what all Tennessee went through. Ended up running off an AD. The president or chancellor gets run off after that. They try and hire Leach. That's thwarted. They tried to hire God knows how many coaches. That didn't happen. They end up with Jeremy Pruitt, assistant at Alabama. He's got a good resume today. That ended up a disaster. I don't know if there's ever been a start to finish search to the hire, to what happened with the hire when he got there, than what Tennessee went through there. I'm not sure you can have it end up, whether it's the process of hiring, whether it's the infighting and the dropping the grenade on your own property like Tennessee likes to do, or the ending of the actual hire, which turns into an NCAA mess. But back to the Gruden-type situation. If you would have taken a poll, and this would have been a couple of hires back, about Tennessee and their hire, you probably could have gotten about 90% of Tennessee fans to believe that Gruden was actually into this. Yeah, he was actually interested in sniffing around a little bit, where he used to be Rocky Top Tennessee and his wife. You could have gotten almost 100%, I'm going to say 90, to actually believe this nonsense at the time. So Jay Cutler's burner account is on to something. Jeff, too, checking in this morning. Bill, Lou Alcindor's first natty came during the 66-67 season. UCLA won all but three games that year by double digits. The NCAA banned the slam dunk the following season because they felt it gave UCLA too much of an advantage. Got to remember, also during that stretch, freshmen were not eligible to play. Remember, until about 72-73, freshmen were not eligible to play. You sign with a team in your first year, you play it on maybe a JV or a freshman team. You could not play on the varsity. You could be the best player in America. It doesn't matter. You are not allowed to play. Freshman ineligibility. And again, that goes back a little bit before me, so I don't really remember it. I remember studying up on it, but so you could sign Lou Alcindor. You could sign Bill Walton. You could sign Heck, Joe Namath. And their first year, they couldn't play on the varsity. JV games used to be a thing in college, particularly college football. Not anymore at all. But I remember going in, was it 1980, maybe it was 79-80, to a Georgia-Tennessee, wait for it everybody, JV football game. I remember going to one of those games. I wouldn't do it again. But actually, I was interested because a lot of young prospects were out there that I'd studied, and I wanted to see them. This was like September of 79-80, somewhere in there. Not many of those now, but that one, yeah. Okay, we flip over to hour number two. Blake Ruffino is on deck. Omni Nashville Hotel.